Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. In March 1965, a televised appeal by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., calling clergy to join him in the march from Selma to Montgomery, spoke to a young seminarian named Jonathan Daniels and compelled him to go to Selma in August of 1965 on an assignment to assist in a voter registration project. On August 14th, he participated in a demonstration in Fort Deposit and was arrested along with other protesters and sent to the Haneyville jail. 6 days later, Jonathan and his companions were unexpectedly released. Aware that they were in danger, four of them walked to a small store. As 16-year-old Ruby Sales reached the top step of the entrance, a man with a gun appeared, cursing her. Jonathan pulled her to one side to shield her from the unexpected threats, and as a result, he was killed by a blast from the 12-gauge shotgun. Kathleen O'Leary, a member and a verger at Trinity Cathedral in Phoenix, is a nurse who's dedicated to helping where she's most needed. In 2010, she went to volunteer in Haiti following the devastating earthquake, where she spent many months providing nursing services. About 6 months ago, when she learned about the growing humanitarian crisis at the Mexican border, Kathleen began making weekly visits to set up a pop-up medical clinic at the shelters run by Cruzando Fronteras, staying for several days at a time in order to see and treat all the medical needs. She's endured everything from freezing temperatures and snow in the winter to hundreds of wasps as things started to bloom in the spring. She periodically shares her experiences on Facebook, including this bit from a post back in March. And then there are the women who wait to be seen at the end. They ask for something for their headaches and maybe a backache. Then they shyly pull up their blouses and point to the bruises on their back or hips or breasts where they were beaten by some man in their lives. The bruises are in various stages of physically healing, but the sobbing continues. I can only embrace them and say that I'm sorry and that they are safe. Kleenex and Tylenol, there is nothing else. Kathleen will be at the border every week treating colds, coughs, bronchitis, pneumonia, flu, headaches, dehydration, chickenpox, and a host of other ailments, dispensing medications, anti-itch creams, vaccinations, fluids, Tylenol, and Kleenex, playing and laughing with the children, hugging them all, and telling them that they're safe until the crisis is over. Jonathan Daniels and Kathleen O'Leary are just two people out of millions who in some way have shown us what it means to live according to the new commandment that Jesus gave at the Last Supper. "I give you a new commandment," he told his gathered disciples that night, "that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He said this to them shortly after he washed the feet of all of his disciples, and right after Judas left to betray him, right before he foretold Peter's denial. And this context is important. This is a crucial moment when Jesus is telling his followers that he'll be leaving them, and they'll now need to live in community and love one another as he has loved them. And the dynamics of the betrayal that bookend these words to them change the character of his words, giving them meaning far different from what the world recognizes. When he talks about his and God's glorification, he's not talking about bestowing praise, honor, and admiration as the world gives it. And when he speaks of love, he's not talking about warm feelings or merely being nice to others. It goes much deeper than that and turns conventional understanding upside down. Jesus has already washed the feet of his disciples at this point, including the feet of his betrayer and his denier. This begins to show us what he means by loving one another. So how exactly are we to understand the kind of love that Jesus is talking about? What is this love that he's given us and commands us to give to others? It's the love reflected in Jesus' own life and death. It means serving each other in the most menial tasks. It also means undertaking heroic actions involving great risk, even to the point of sacrificing our own life for someone else. And it involves every kind of self-giving act in between. This love is self-giving love. It doesn't depend on the merits of those who receive it. It doesn't guarantee any return for the giver. It's a love without limits. It's a love that gives everything and doesn't calculate the costs. And it's a love that changes us as we give it. This is the nature of Christian love, scholar and preacher Caroline Lewis says. It's a love aware of consequences. It's a love aware of challenges. But most of all, it's a love that loves anyway. A love that knows what it is getting itself into and yet loves abundantly. Otherwise, our love merely skims the surface of gospel love, of God's love. It will be satisfied with the love of the world, a love that demands and decrees, a love that stipulates and insists on certain standards. A love that has convinced itself of a self-maintaining love, a self-preserving love, a self-love, a love unwilling to take risks, a scared love, a safe love. Now notice that this love that Jesus commands us to have for one another is an active love, not just inner feelings, but love manifested in real-world activities, acts of service and sacrifice. The disciples and the early Christian communities that followed after them demonstrated this love by reaching out in service to the poor, the hungry, and the sick. We do the same, recognizing that loving one another as Jesus has loved us calls us into acts of compassion and draws us into working for justice, equality, and peace. As Christians, we are inherently countercultural in our understanding of and actions in the world. The cross, meant to bring pain and humiliation, is the very thing that brings glory to God. And love is not only for the righteous and the worthy, but for the weak and the broken, even the betrayer. This can be hard for us to grasp. We easily fall into accepting the cultural values of our time, deeming others unworthy of our love, or demanding that it be reciprocated. We shrink away from risking our love, or perhaps expect a return on our efforts. We tell ourselves that as long as we have the right beliefs, the right morals, the right knowledge, we're good Christians. But that's not what Jesus tells us. He's clear that we're known as disciples by one thing: the love that we have for one another, a love modeled by Christ himself and lived out in acts of self-giving to others. Now, there's no getting around the fact that this command is challenging. It's both the simplest and the most difficult command that Jesus could have given. Simple because we usually know what the loving thing to do is, but difficult because we give of ourselves. In loving, we're exposed. We give all, and it changes us. Nevertheless, we can do it. In fact, in some ways, we're already doing it. Remember when I said that Jonathan Daniels and Kathleen O'Leary are just two people out of millions who've shown us what it means to live according to the new commandment? Well, we all are part of the millions who in some way or another are loving one another as Jesus loves us. We all succeed sometimes. And we all fail at times, right? Can you think of a time this past week when you chose love? When you looked out for someone else's interests or welfare? When you responded to negativity with compassion? When you put aside your own goals to help someone else achieve theirs? I bet each of us can. But I'm sure we can also recall a time when we found it difficult to love another. When perhaps we responded to negativity with more negativity, or felt justified in being a little short with someone, or simply ignored someone in need because it seemed too hard or too inconvenient to help. The good news is that whether we succeed or fail, God still loves us perfectly and unconditionally, and that love frees us and sends us out again to love each other. You see, Jesus truly is the source of the love that we have for one another. The love that we give flows out of his abiding presence with us. It's his love for us that enables us to share that love with others. There's actually a way of translating this verse from the Greek that makes the causal connection even clearer. So instead of reading, "just as I have loved you, you also should love one another," this translation reads, "I have loved you in order that you also love one another." This is the new element of this old command in the Jewish law to love one's neighbor. Now the source that feeds this love is the love embodied in Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Christ's acts of love and grace make our love possible. So choose love, my friends. Choose it as often and in as many ways as you can. Find courage and strength in the love Christ has for you, and go out and engage in acts of loving service to others. Choose love, especially in the face of evil. Choose love, especially when it seems difficult or impossible. These are the times that choosing love is the most important. When those we think are close, we think we can trust, abandon us, as Caroline Lewis says. When the actions and words of others clearly come from hate and suspicion and prejudice. This is when it is most important to choose love. I'd like to close with a prayer of commitment in the service for justice and peace from the Iona Abbey worship book used by the Iona community in Scotland. God of new beginnings, you long for us to live in love and justice with our neighbors, with friends and strangers, with people everywhere. You call us to be just and loving in our working, in our shopping, in our caring, and through our prayers. Jesus, you were a storyteller. You talked about money, wages, and taxes. You told stories about integrity and forgiveness. You helped people who were in trouble. You listened to people who were sad. You call us to live as you did, to listen to each other, to be forgiving, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Holy Spirit, we are discovering what you ask of us. You are wild and wise and speak the truth. You challenge and comfort us. You breathe life into us. You shout in the streets and you whisper in our ears. You remind us what Jesus taught and practiced. You take us to task. You tell us to turn around. You call us to walk in love's way. Holy Trinity, God's love in community, every day in all our living, help us to say yes to you. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You have heard the word. Now the work begins. Go in peace to love your neighbor as yourself. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.